You're listening to the Membership Geeks Podcast, bringing you proven practical tips and advice from the leading experts on growing a successful membership business.
What's up, membershippers? Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Membership Geeks Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Morrison, chief geek around these parts and the founder of Membership Geeks and Membership Academy. And today we are kicking off a little series of something we like to do a couple of times a year here on the show. And that is our little venture into the vaults from the past 10 years of this podcast, where I am hand-picking episodes to bring to the top of the list, to bring back to your attention, that cover important topics that I want to ensure that you are aware of, that you are incorporating into your membership strategy, all that good stuff. Because when you've been running a podcast that has been publishing episodes weekly for over a decade, that is a lot of content. And from day one, I strategically planned this podcast, intentionally designed it so that every episode is evergreen. We don't jump on trends. We don't report on news. We don't really go into specific platforms that will die out within a couple of years, because that's not what solid strategy and best practice is all about. And indeed, because of that, a lot of the stuff that I was talking about back when we launched this podcast in 2015 is still as relevant, if not more so, than it is today. Because strategic sense and good practices, they don't age quickly. They don't change, right? The foundations, the fundamentals of what it takes to build and run a successful, sustainable membership, they are pretty much evergreen. Certain things do change, new things come into the fore. Indeed, last week on the episode, I talked about off-platform engagement. This is something that is so much more relevant now than it was a decade ago. But I would say probably 95% of what is in the archives of the Membership Geeks podcast is still highly relevant today. But of course, if you had just discovered us today, or even if you discovered us last year or even the year before, it's highly unlikely that you will have gone all the way back to episode one and just binge listened the entire decade of content. That is far too much of my voice. Every now and then, some people do. I do tend to hear from people where they say that they had a huge road trip and so they just binged the podcast all the way through. But that's becoming less and less of a thing. 5 years ago, more people would do that. Now, I don't blame you if you don't want to dive into 10 years of podcast episodes. But of course, that does mean that you are missing a lot of gold, a lot of value. So twice a year, I like to dive into the vault and I like to pick out some episodes to refresh and to put back in front of you that either you might have missed first time around, or it's been so long since you heard it that this will act as a good reminder. So for the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing just that. We've got a bit of a theme for this little run into the vault that is a lot more around churn, retention, engagement, because where we are in the world today, marketing is becoming harder and it's changing a lot more. It's very fluid. But ultimately, all the marketing strategy in the world, all the new members in the world are not going to make any difference to your membership success if your retention strategy isn't on point. Memberships are a retention business. It's not about getting people in the front door. It's about making them want to stay for months and years to come. And so these next few episodes are going to focus a little bit more on how we can improve retention rates, how we can increase lifetime value, how we can get people to stick around longer. And we're going to kick off this little venture into the vaults with an episode all about almost redefining the idea of churn. Churn gets talked about a lot when it comes to memberships. Churn is the percentage of members that you lose month on month, year on year. And of course, I've just said myself, memberships are a retention business, and churn, or your retention rate, these are essentially two sides of the same coin, that is usually the number one stat, right? That's the number one key performance indicator. A healthy membership has high retention and low churn rate. However, if you really, really want to get into the nuance, if you really want that kind of mind-expanding mindset and worldview when it comes to your membership, we need a bit of a reframe, because ultimately there is one KPI that is more impactful, that I might argue is more important, and that is member lifetime value. Churn really is just a part of the equation in calculating member lifetime value. So for today's episode, I'm going all the way back to episode 211. That's 255 episodes ago. That is crazy. Where I talk about why member lifetime value is more important than churn. Now, to set the scene and the context for this episode, this was a little bit of a rant, because at the time, I was seeing so many more people saying memberships are not worth starting because you're going to lose members. So there was a lot of people demonizing the idea of a membership because of the fact that memberships have churn, which is such a simplistic, short-sighted view. So I kind of released this episode to challenge that notion, challenge the idea that the fact the membership model comes with cancellations as part of it, like that doesn't suddenly render it a worse model than selling a one-off course or a six-month program or something like this. So I came at it through that lens. Hopefully you'll enjoy the little bit of a rant, but also it's a shift in perspective that I think can be really healthy and really helpful for membership owners, particularly ones who've been around for a while. So without any further ado, let's dive in to our little From the Vault episode, going all the way back to 211 on why member lifetime value is more important than churn. Here we go.
Because I want to tackle a particular perspective that I've seen being brought up by people who've either run memberships in the past and then they've changed their mind on the model, and then they've written an article talking about why they don't like the membership model. I've also seen some sentiment expressed by people who maybe are a little dissatisfied with how things are going with their membership. So basically, where you see people saying something like this: if a member is going to cancel with the membership model, if you have members who are going to cancel, they're only going to stay for a certain number of months, then what is the point? Usually the context that that statement is in, if a member only stays for X months, then what's the point? Usually that's followed by, I might as well do X. So why would I run a membership? Because if members are only going to end up cancelling after 10 months, then I might as well just sell online courses. If a member's only going to stay for 9 months, then I might as well just go back to one-on-one retainer projects or something like that. So what I really want to challenge today is the notion that the existence of churn and the fact that cancellations and leaving a membership is just a natural part of the member life cycle. The very fact that people who sign up for your membership are not customers for life somehow makes membership a bad model, and that perhaps selling something different, like a one-off course, would be a better option. So because there's churn and because people will leave your membership, you shouldn't have a membership in the first place because other options are better. So let's break this down. And obviously, this is all prefaced by me saying, you know, you're listening to the Membership Guys podcast, so I shouldn't have to tell you that I'm slightly biased about memberships. I am slightly biased about memberships. But hopefully, we're going to break this down. We're going to actually dig into that and explore it. And if you found yourself questioning the membership model because of the very things we're talking about, hopefully this is going to provide a different angle to it. So we talked before on this show about the fact that there is no industry average churn rate for memberships. Quite often you'll hear people saying that the average person will stay subscribed to a membership for 3 months. Now, several episodes ago, we debunked that completely. There is no industry standard churn rate. And it was actually back in episode 162. So if you go to themembershipguys.com/162, you can hear that episode where we debunk the whole myth that industry average churn rate is 3 months. And we actually debunk the idea of industry average at all. Now, if you had to pin it down and you absolutely had to give a thumb in the air industry average, it's more like 8 or 9 months. Okay, so let's work with that. So let's say that generally, when it comes to churn, and churn is the percentage of members who leave over the space of a given month, ignoring any new members who might have come in. So generally, Let's say you're going to be shooting for 10% churn and under every single month. Right, so let's say you've got a $50 a month membership that has a 10% churn rate. So every month, 10% of your members leave, not including any new ones you replace them with. So a 10% churn, that means that every member that signs up is going to stay with you for 10 months. That's what 10% churn works out at on a month-to-month basis. So every new sign-up you get will stay for 10 months and then they'll leave on average. 10 months at $50 a month means that that member is worth to you over their entire lifetime $500. So that is their lifetime value, $500 on a membership that's 50 bucks a month with 10% churn rate. Now let's take a different scenario. Let's say you have a membership that is $25 a month and you have a 5% churn rate. 5% churn would be considered very good. So that means that every new person who signs up will on average stay for 20 months. 20 months at $25 a month comes out to a lifetime value of $500. The same as the membership that's 50 bucks a month with 10% churn. The churn is better on the 25 with 5%. But the overall lifetime value of every member who signs up is identical. Another scenario, let's say you have a membership that's $10 a month and you've got 2% churn. 2% churn would be considered fantastic. 2% churn means that people will stay for 50 months. That's what that breaks down as. So every new member who joins will stay subscribed for 4 years and 2 months, paying you every single month $10. And over that time period, their total lifetime value to you, 4 years and 2 months at $10 a month, that lifetime value, $500. So the point I'm making here is churn rate in isolation is not a particularly informative metric. It's only a factor in the bigger picture in so much as it affects lifetime value. So first and foremost, we have to ditch this ideal around churn rate because it needs context. And so if your mindset is, well, I've got churn, my churn's bad, so why don't I just throw in the towel and sell a course instead or do something else instead? It's all about context. You need to think about what that churn actually means in terms of the lifetime value of every sale that you get. Now, there is one other metric that churn affects, and that is growth rate. So once you take all the new members you sign up in a month, subscribe those who have left, how much has your total member number or your total revenue gone up by that month? That's your growth rate. And you always want that to be positive. However, if you're getting no sales at all, then it doesn't matter what your churn is. Your churn could be 0.5%, but you'd be in negative growth because unless churn is zero, unless you don't lose any members, then without sales, you are in negative growth. And that's the same for anything. If you're selling courses and you don't get any sales, then the money dries up. If you're servicing clients and you don't get any new contracts, the money dries up. The big difference with memberships is that there's a heck of a lot more cliff to walk back on if growth starts dipping into the negative. So again, the context that this whole issue that we're talking about in this show usually comes up in is when someone is comparing a membership to some other type of business model or some other type of product you could be selling. Whether that's working with clients one-on-one, selling a physical product, selling an alternative digital product like a high-priced course. So let's say you have a membership and your churn rate is 10%. And because you've got 10% churn rate, you're in this mindset where you're thinking, well, 10% churn rate means that all this effort I put in to get a new member to sign up, they're going to leave after 10 months. What's the point? Why don't I just create a course? Okay, so again, context is important. A lot of courses in the online space are being sold for $2,000 these days. But of course, you're not going to get anywhere near as many sales of a $2,000 course as you're going to get of a $50 membership. So again, if your $50 a month membership has a 10% churn rate, people are only staying 10 months, their lifetime value is $500. So what is the alternative? If you want to sell courses, do you sell a $500 course to the same amount of customers that you're currently selling your membership to? The lifetime value ends up being the same, right? $50 a month for members who will stay for 10 months. If you get exactly the same amount of sales of a $500 course, the end result financially is still the same. Each sale of that course to you is worth $500 for the lifetime of your relationship with that person who buys the course. In the same way that the lifetime value of every individual person who joins your membership, that's $50 a month, 10% churn rate, is $500. So it's the same. So yes, you could choose to just sell a course rather than keep running your membership site if you're not happy with your 10% churn rate. But when you're looking in terms of how many sales of that course you're likely to get by comparison to your membership and how much lifetime value there is for each sale of the course compared to the lifetime value for each sale of your membership, usually it's going to wind up about the same. So you might be able to sell a $500 course to the same amount of people you can talk into signing up for a $50 a month membership. But if your course is $1,000, you're not going to get anywhere near as many sales. So let's say you price a course at $1,000 and you get half as many sales. The end result financially is the same as your $50 a month membership. If you were to sell a $2,000 course to a quarter of as many people as you'd be able to sell your $50 a month membership, the end result financially is the same. So if you have found yourself thinking, I hate having to constantly replace members who leave, or after a year, 100% of our member base who signed up is gone, then yes, of course, it sucks when you think of it like that. But try reframing it. Reframe it to this. Let's say you've got that 10% churn rate. Rather than looking at it as 10% churn rate means that our members cycle out, 100% of our members cycle out after a year. Think of it like this. For those people who join, after 10 months, we get no more money from them. It's the same thing. You're describing the same situation, but by changing the context in terms of thinking about that lifetime value, rather than thinking about it in terms of, oh, I've got to replace people, thinking about it in terms of numbers in and numbers out, in pure clinical, pure financial terms, all that means is that after 10 months after that initial sale, you stop getting money from that individual. Now, if you're selling a course, that statement, that alternative is after one transaction, we get no more money. So with a membership with 10% churn, after 10 months, we get no more money from that person. With a course, it's after that initial transaction, that one day, that 1 minute, that 1 hour the transaction goes through, we get no more money. So the end result is the same. It's only the time frame to achieve that end result that changes. And actually, with memberships, you have more levers to pull when it comes to trying to increase that lifetime value, to increase that end result. With a standalone course that you're selling, there's only that one lever. There's the sales lever. All you can do is try to increase sales. With memberships, there's sales and retention. So if your course is $500, then the only way to increase the lifetime value of those sales, that customer, is with upsells, so selling them more stuff, or putting your price up. You can do those things with memberships, but in addition, you can do things to improve retention too. Improving retention by just one extra month can make the difference. One extra month, so a 10% improvement on the amount of time you get people to stick around as a member, taking them from 10 months to 11 months, that increases your lifetime value for every single member by $50. You can't do that with a course unless you increase the price of your course to $550, or unless you sell an add-on product at $50 for that product. So you have a greater range of things that you can do to improve the bottom line financially. So again, if you're thinking, well, what's the point in having a membership if after a year, the members that I sign up are gone? What that really means is that after a year, the members that you sign up have maxed out their lifetime value. Courses max out on day one. Client projects max out when the work is finished. The idea of lifetime value of your customers maxing out is not exclusive to memberships. Now, some courses will allow you to spread payment over 12 months. It's the same principle. After 12 months, the customer's lifetime value maxes out. So it's important to realize that really whatever model you go with for your business, whatever type of business you run, it all essentially comes down to customer lifetime value. If we're talking clinically, if we're talking about dollars and cents, the bottom line, which is usually where these decisions come from. So if dealing with churn is something that's turning you away from the membership model, you need to understand that churn is merely a factor in determining what the customer lifetime value will be. And if you really want to get into an apples for apples, like for like comparison, understand that anything you sell has a churn rate. Churn rate is merely a factor in determining the end point after which you get no more money from that person. So when you use that definition, and that is a very accurate, very appropriate definition of what churn is, when you use that definition, courses have a churn rate. It's just that churn rate is instantaneous because you get no more money from the sale of that course after the initial sale goes through. So it has 100% churn rate. Client projects, if it's paid in three installments, client projects have a 33.3% churn rate. Or if payments are spread over 6 months, then it has a 16.whatever% churn rate. Everything has a churn rate because everything has an end point, a maxing out point in terms of customer lifetime value. So don't let the prevalence of churn as a KPI in the membership model, when churn usually isn't talked about, it's not talked about with courses, it's not talked about with client stuff, but don't let that fool you into thinking that you should switch to a different model because with courses or with clients, you don't have to deal with churn. Churn is merely a factor in determining what the overall lifetime value will be and what the time frame for hitting that total lifetime value is going to be. It's not the main metric you should focus on. So when you understand and embrace that mindset and that perspective, then the question of whether you should be running a membership or whether you'd be better off selling courses or client services or whatever else, really that question then comes down to other factors like which do you enjoy more? Which facilitates the type of lifestyle you want? Which is better suited to your market, to your audience? Which best fits with your skill set? However, if the answers to those questions lead you towards courses being a better type of product or a better business model for you than memberships, or providing one-on-one client services being better for you than running a membership, then so be it. Those are all important questions, and it is very important that whatever route you go down in terms of how you serve your market and serve your audience is in line with the answers to those questions. But if you have ever found yourself sitting there thinking, I'm just so sick of dealing with churn, I'm just so sick of the fact that we put in all this time and effort to bring new members in, and then ultimately they leave, so I would be better off doing this other thing or better off doing that other thing because then I wouldn't need to worry about churn. Hopefully what we talked about today will have helped change those attitudes and really help you to understand that the grass isn't greener in other types of business models. Churn on its own, in isolation, is not the thing you should be thinking about if making the decisions between one type of business or another, if thinking about whether memberships are really suitable for you as a business model. It all comes down, at the end of the day, to member lifetime value, customer lifetime value. Churn is just a single factor in determining what that lifetime value is, and actually, the fact that memberships take longer for that lifetime value to hit its peak gives you more breathing room, gives you more maneuverability, more flexibility to actually improve upon the tipping point, the maxing out point of that lifetime value compared to other types of business models.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that little trip into the vault or little visit to the archives as much as I did. It's always quite energizing to hear myself on my soapbox. But yeah, much needed one. And again, that perspective shift is something that can be so useful, especially if you feel like you've done everything that you can in terms of improving member retention, and maybe it's just not where you want it to be. You can make peace with that if you reframe things in terms of member lifetime value. And in fact, the certainty that comes from knowing that number and accepting that, okay, maybe there's nothing else we can do to improve the churn rate. Now we can look at ways in which we can increase member lifetime value. That can open up so many more strategic doors. So I do hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Next week, I'm going to be back with another From the Vault episode. Again, we're staying with the topic of churn and retention. Next week, we're going to tackle something called subscription fatigue. This can be an absolute killer for memberships because so many subscriptions exist today. Streaming, shopping, like your groceries on subscription, you can get your motor vehicles on subscription. The model has become so saturated over the years, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. This presents a potential existential threat to our industry, to memberships. And so in my little visit into the vault next week, we're going to talk about how you can combat subscription fatigue. So that's definitely one you're going to want to join me for. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next week.
If you enjoyed this week's episode of the Membership Geeks podcast, we invite you to check out membershipacademy.com. Membership Academy is the original membership about memberships, and it's the essential resource for anyone at any stage of starting, growing, and running a successful online membership business. Whether you're still trying to figure out what your idea is going to be and you need some help making it a reality, or whether your website is already up and running and you're looking for ways to grow and attract new members, then Membership Academy can help you to get to the next level. Not only do you get access to our step-by-step membership roadmap, our extensive training library, and exclusive member-only discount and tools, you'll also become part of our supportive, active community of membership owners that will help you along the way in your journey with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All of this and more make Membership Academy the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow a successful membership business. Check it out and join the community at membershipacademy.com.